You're listening to the Motorsport Network podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Outlap here in what was a sunny Montreal until we press record, as things always seem to tend to go. It's me, Mark Manbrines, joined by Ben Hunt. We're here, obviously, for the Canadian Grand Prix this weekend. Ben,
yeah,
lots to discuss, really, before we even think about what's going to happen out on the track. Let's start, I suppose, with the hometown hero, the local boy, Lance Stroll. We found out in the last few minutes that he will take part this weekend after the issues he had in Barcelona. That's good news for him, good news for the team, I guess.
Yeah, it's good news for everyone, isn't it? I think that that team are committed to Lance Stroll. They've made that clear. Obviously, being the son of the owner, you know, there's always questions about whether he's got that place on merit. The message from the team is that they do want him. They're not thinking of replacing him. This is a chance for him to drive in his hometown race. Obviously, we need to talk what happened in Spain.
Of course.
You know, there's so many questions as to how he aggravated this hand injury.
It's quite an old hand injury, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, he suffered it in the winter, didn't he, a couple of years ago, and went to Dr. Mir, who's like a MotoGP specialist, really, because he's always dealing with the riders and their fractured hands. Yeah. And he underwent an operation on his hand and came back and obviously did well, you know, to recover so quickly. The message from the team was that it was aggravated and that he'd been suffering all year with it. You know, there was no mention of it in any of the other press conferences, and obviously it comes off the back of a disappointing qualifying in Spain, and there was some reports saying that there was a lot of trashing and shoving stuff around in his driver room. So, you know, absolutely no insinuation that there was anything other than that. But there will be questions. How did you do it? You know, are you back to full health and et cetera, et cetera? I think for me, the biggest disappointment is it denies Djokovic the chance to step in. He's been, the Brazilian's been a reserve driver at the team for about, 3 years, I think. You know, hugely impressive talent. Never really got his chance to you know, drive in F1. And I was quite excited by the prospect of being able to see him driving that car. But we are not going to get that, unfortunately, this weekend.
Going to put you on the spot a little bit here, Ben, but the form of Lance Stroll for maybe a couple of years now, arguably, since Aston have dropped off a little bit.
Yeah.
You wrote the piece last year after that silly little incident in Brazil where he drove into the gravel trap and retired.
Yes.
The question marks over, I suppose, the nepotism and things like that, they exist because of those kind of errors and things like that, don't they?
They do, and I think that for me, that the Aston issue is they've got all the right ingredients. They've recruited heavily in their technology department and design departments and everywhere across the business. They have that wonderful new facility up at Silverstone.
Yeah.
Their wonderful office. Wonderful factory is an office. I was going to say that Adrian Newey's got a lovely office, and the fact that they have got Adrian Newey there as well, and all the right ingredients are there, but it is the weak link, is the driver pairing, because you've got a aging Fernando Alonso who's still very talented but obviously the wrong side of 40.
Yeah.
And then you've got Lance Stroll that's never really done it on a consistent basis. We've seen flashes of brilliance, usually when the weather's bad, which could happen this weekend, it's really that consistency what's missing, and that's really what Aston Martin need. They need consistency at the moment and consistent drivers in the points to try and help development with that car or this year's car. All eyes, though, of course, on for 26 and the Newey car that he's designing. So, look, it's good that he's back. No one wants anyone to be out with an injury or anything. I'm just a little bit disappointed that Dragovic isn't getting his chance.
Quite, I suppose, a nice little segue into drivers being back, drivers being allowed to race this weekend. Let's talk about Max Verstappen. He's so close now to that penalty. We'll come on to that shortly.
One point away, isn't he?
Yeah, just one point now, which is, you know, it's the smallest little misdemeanor, and he's going to get a race ban, which I know Ronald Vording was on the James Allen on F1 podcast, and he said, look, he's already two DNFs behind Oscar Piastri, if you like.
Yeah.
So a race ban now, and that would be the end of any title hope.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, he might have to change his mentality, and I think that's probably going to be the hardest thing for Max. You know, he's all in, isn't he? You know, always determined to do the best he can, does manoeuvres that other drivers wouldn't dare do. You know, for instance, that overtaking Piastri a couple of races ago. Where was it? It was Imola.
Yeah.
When he took the lead, yes. And, you know, that was a really ballsy move. Fantastic. And you look at it and you just think, wow, only Max really does that sort of stuff. he may need to change that approach, knowing that he's on this disciplinary tightrope. One mistake like that could earn him, you know, penalty points, and then he's out.
Can a driver change their approach?
But that's what I'm saying. I just don't think he can. I don't think he's got it in him, and I don't think that's in his DNA to drive in that particularly ballsy, aggressive, whichever way you want to call it, determined, you know, whatever people's interpretation of his driving style is. I just don't think he's got it in him to do that. He doesn't really back out of stuff. So, yeah, I mean, it's entirely plausible that he would be receiving a one race ban. And we now know that, you know, Red Bull have been looking to get super license points for super license accreditation for Lindblad, isn't it? And
yeah, yeah.
Just making sure that they've got options available should that happen. Yeah, it's entirely possible that you could see someone else in that Red Bull car.
You've written a book about the whole of Red Bull racing, so I want to pick your brains about this one. What would it have been like in Milton Keynes for the last 2 weeks? Would there have been awkward conversations? Would they just be trying to move on from it? Because it wasn't just the issue. It was the fact they put him on the hard tyres, the fact they told him to give the place back to George Russell.
Yeah.
It was a bit of almost a smorgasbord, if you like, of errors that led to it, wasn't it? So there'd have been some brain scratching, wouldn't there?
And I think, yeah, to build into that culture aspect, I think that after that win in Imola, Red Bull was so pleased and happy because that was the first time that Max had won a race on pace, and you know, for a long time since 2023. And I think that there was a lot of relief after that result. It almost felt like the team were edging their way back. But then since then, we've had poor races and the mistakes and the errors, and you've obviously now got your main driver risking a ban, and it's quite a up and down, you know, nature of you know, results and circumstance. And I think that now, in the same way that we were talking about whether Max has to change his approach, do Red Bull now need to change their approach with how they go into race weekends? You know, I think one of their strengths has always been the fact that they've had a very solid you know, understanding of where they want to be and a level of professionalism. I guess from the other side is people say, oh, you've had several key faces leave, you know, Jonathan Wheatley leaving and obviously Newey and others, and people will be quick to say, oh, that's because they've gone and now the wheels have come off and they're making mistakes. But actually, the other option perhaps to look at it is yes, they have gone, but it's allowing people now to fill those roles, and it is inevitable that they will make mistakes. So maybe it's just part of the evolving culture at Red Bull. Will they change the way they go racing? They might have to. Just given, you know, they need to be hugely self-critical and analytical to make sure that they cut out these mistakes in order to give them the best chance of, you know, getting as many points as they can. I do think that the Constructors' Championship won't happen this year, and I don't think the Drivers' Championship will happen this year, but it's important that they keep that momentum going forward for 26, which will be a massive year for everyone.
Absolutely, that Constructors' Championship is obviously, it's almost dead in the water, isn't it, because of that second car problem they've got. They can't get the right driver, whoever they put in there can't get that, you know, that switch that Max seems to have, which just, is not a criticism. He's a brilliant driver, that car very much designed to help him win championship.
Yeah, and we've seen that before, haven't we, where they have won everything really with just his points when Sergio Perez was there. You know, he obviously picked up valuable points, but it was kind of Max doing the heavy lifting, and then Checo with his results just making life more comfortable.
Right, we mentioned there Red Bull book that you wrote. Let's quickly have a little segue into your McLaren book.
It's because it's some sort of,
it's like an interview,
promotional piece.
But tell us, top 10 Sunday Times list.
Yeah.
Tell us about the book. Tell us how pleasing it was to get it out there.
Yeah, so the book is Forever Forward. It's a story on McLaren, and I'm not going to make this too ad heavy, but it was a fun project to do because it was looking up the up and down nature of McLaren's past and sort of triumph and adversity and the repeating pattern. And then I'd identified, obviously, that from Austria onwards they were on a, you know, an upward path, quite a steep trajectory, and obviously reaping the rewards at the moment with regards to wins and championships, potential championships this year. So it's gone well. It's selling well. It's the idea is it's a fast-paced book. It's not a comprehensive guide of all things McLaren. Yeah. Those books exist. So it is a fast-paced book, but looking how what's going on today has been shaped in the past with Bruce McLaren and Ron Dennis and everyone that's worked at the team, and how it's an evolution of that team. So, yeah, all good. Thank you for the plug.
Very welcome. Fast-paced. Let's talk about McLaren then, because they are the fast-paced car at the moment. Piastri and Norris Is Piastri still the one at the moment happiest, do you think, in that
car?
Yeah,
I think so. It's very hard to tell, isn't it? Yeah. Because he's just so devoid of emotion. And there's a really, quite an interesting aspect with Oscar in the way that he manages the situation. Yeah. And then you flip it over to Lando Norris, who's a very emotional character. And I'm really interested again to see how all this plays out over the course of the season, but for me, Oscar is the one who's got his tail up, looking confident, and I can't see past him at the moment. What about you?
Yeah, I agree, and we're flying through the segues, but I think there is a good one here. You talk then about Piastri and the way he's almost like the Terminator when it comes to how he approaches things. On the other flip side of that, you've got Lando Norris, who is very self-critical. You know, you can tell when he's upset. Very similar to another Brit in Lewis Hamilton, who is clearly struggling. He's clearly got issues with the car. He's not really bedded into that team. His face betrays him when he doesn't really want to say anything.
You know
this guy. You've known him for years. Yeah. How will he be feeling at the moment?
Conflicted, I would imagine. I don't think anyone was under any illusions that he would go into Ferrari and everything would be perfect. But I do think that he would be hoping for better results and better understanding than what he's faced with at the moment. Cool. And I think over the last couple of weeks, what we've seen is that Charles Leclerc has been able to pull away from Lewis. And I think that for him must be a bit of a concern. We know that there's an issue with ride height and, you know, the softness of the car. It's not suiting Lewis's driving style. So I think that there's quite a lot to sort out. Ultimately, I guess he's probably feeling a little bit despondent, a little bit disappointed, and, you know, the wind taken out of his sails, because at the start of the year, all that positivity and well-wishing, and then you also had that win in China, the sprint race, which again, you know, in terms of going back to the Red Bull situation of giving everyone a lift, and that it's proved to be a false dawn, really. He can't hide his emotions. Obviously very frustrated, but, you know, this was all about for next year. This season was all just trying to start that relationship building with his engineers and the team and building out everything in preparation for 26. And again, obviously that's the big year. This kind of year's been a bit of a write-off, really, as just a learning experience. So let's see what happens next year. I don't think you can judge him on this year's performance.
Seven-time world champion is always going to make the headlines, always going to get the news. I do feel a bit for him and the relationship, as you mentioned there, with the team on the team radio now. It's played out to the millions of people who watch Formula 1, the TV producers that are picking those bits of radio, a bit of audio. They're not stupid. They know that that's going to attract attention.
Yeah, it's growing pains, isn't it? I think that's it. And I think the only thing that I would be conscious of is just public perception, and obviously there's a lot of support for Lewis around the world. It just needs to maintain that. He maybe needs to bite his lip a little bit and just be mindful of that, which, again, if we're talking about personalities in Formula 1, and, you know, let's not dial it out. We don't want Max to change his style in the same way that we don't want Lewis to really not express himself.
Of course, yeah.
But it is a difficult one, isn't it? Just how it's all being played out in the open.
Yeah, and I don't really see that changing for the rest of the year.
No, it is part of the learning process, isn't it? I think it's being honest and, you know, working through these problems. It's difficult when he had that relationship with Pete Bonington at Mercedes for all those years.
Of course.
And now he's got a new guy to deal with. New language, new culture, new faces, just a new way of doing stuff, new power unit. There's so many more elements now that he's got to get up to speed with. And I guess, you know, it's uncomfortable, but he's doing all that learning in the public eye.
You mentioned earlier about Fernando Alonso being the wrong side of 40.
Yeah.
Do think that's any issue?
A bit like me.
I'm nearly there. But for Lewis, do you think that's an issue?
I don't think so, no, because physically, both of them are on their game.
Unlike us. So all the poutine we had yesterday.
So it's quite difficult to make a case and say that he's not physically able to do it. I don't buy that. I think what you do notice is the hunger, and both those drivers still have the hunger. I think that, you know, once you start losing that appetite and turning up to great places like Montreal for a great race on Sunday, that's when things start going wrong. That's the time when you need to check out. We saw it a little bit with Sebastian Vettel. We were all aware that this was the end and that he was not showing the same sort of
maybe Kimi
enthusiasm. Kimi's another example. Same level of enthusiasm. That's the time when to stop. Not when you think that people, you know, you're getting old. That doesn't matter. It's how you feel.
Yeah.
And I think both of them currently feel like they're, you know, still good enough to be there, and they are.
talking of being good enough, we've had over the course of this season on the Outlap, we bought you the Rating Bulls game show.
Oh no.
We bought you the Max Factor game show. Ben, this is your first ever appearance on an Outlap game show. We're going to theme it around Canada, theme it around Lance Stroll. So bear with me while I get my famous notebook. We're going to have a quick round of a stroll down memory lane.
Nice. I see what you've done there.
So you're going to get five facts about Lance Stroll's career.
Okay.
We're going to compare them to other F1 drivers.
Right.
And all I need to know if the number I give you is higher or lower.
Okay.
So nice and easy. You could have just called it higher or lower, but it's not as good as
it. I like Stroll around Montreal.
That's yes. Good. So, in his career, Lance Stroll to date has scored 306 World Championship points.
Uh-huh.
Is that higher or lower than Esteban Ocon?
That's higher than Ocon.
It's actually lower.
Wow.
Esteban Ocon, 465 points.
Wow. I apologise to Esteban Ocon.
There you go, you see. Right, he has started to date 174 Grand Prix. We now know it'll be 175 on Sunday, obviously. But is that higher or lower than Eddie Irvine?
That is higher than Eddie Irvine.
It is. Eddie Irvine started 145 Formula 1 Grand Prix. Last season, Lance Stroll. Difficult year for Aston Martin all round. Mm-hmm. He scored 24 World Championship points. Is that higher or lower than the Racing Bull of Yuki Tsunoda from last year?
That is lower.
It is lower, but Tsunoda only scored 30, which I think is quite surprising. We've got two more for you here.
I am not doing so bad.
You're doing okay. First F1 season was 2017.
Yes.
He scored 40 points driving for Williams.
Yes.
But was that more or less points than his Williams teammate of that year, Felipe Massa?
I would say Massa outscored him.
He did. Do you want to have a guess by how many?
That year, I'd say an extra 16 points.
So only three.
Oh.
So not a bad rookie year, really, for Lance Stroll. So finally, this is my favourite question because I think you will have no idea, so it's a complete guess. Lance Stroll, in 2016, won the European Formula 3 Championship.
He did.
He scored 507 points.
He did, yes.
The next year, that title was won by Lando Norris.
Yeah.
But did he win it?
Fewer points.
He won it with fewer points. He did. He won it with 441. So, quick tot up of the score there. And you did. You got four out of five. So that was a great stroll down memory lane.
It's not bad, is it?
It's very good.
It's bad.
I hope Codders enjoys that pun as well. I hope you enjoy the rest of the weekend. Join us across the Motorsport Network. We'll have coverage. Me and Ben will be here with Emily Selick. We'll bring you more videos. There'll be podcasts to be done as well.
Yeah, we've got loads going on, haven't we?
So much fun. Race Centre Live, of course. We've got running on Saturday and Sunday. So, keep across the Motorsport for everything you need for the F1 Grand Prix here in Montreal.